Morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. Stand up. We make the affirmation. We make the affirmation right now. Don, you took it. You did it. You did it for him. Let's do this thing. Hold it up. If it's on your phone or if you got a real one, hold it up. And that's it right there. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Do it again louder. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Boy, you sound good. And you sang great. Be seated in Jesus' name. And Faith, we're glad to see you. Give us an Italian greeting real quick. All right. Amen. Amen. You need to teach Linda how to order some pizza like that. That's good. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life. It has everything to do with my future. I have come to speak faith to you. Today is my establishment message of my goal, my thought process, my heart process of what I want to share with you for the next 4 weeks today, because I think it is so strong. We start with the ground rules, as you always should start with ground rules and understand the whole thing, why we're here today right now. Psalm 24 is probably not something you think is something we start for a Christmas celebration, but you need to be reminded of all of this right now. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and some things in it." Everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas, he established it on the waters. The earth is the Lord's. It is his right now. God ordained everything about this earth. God did everything about this earth. Therefore, as the creator, it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him right now. And he is the reason the world is still spinning today. He is the reason today. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1 said it this way, that by all things he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, all things means all things. You understand that. That's the world. That's everything. I read that in Psalm. Everything in it, everything about it, everything that affects it, everything right now. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Said another way, I've sung it. You've sung it. We've sung it all of our lives. We sang it if you were in a youth group, somebody had a guitar and you sat around and we did that in those days. Or you sang it in a school play. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And listen up, English teachers, it's he's got. Not he has. He has the. No, no, no. He's got. He's got. We've sung this for years. We sang it in our schools before it was against the law. He's got the whole world in his hands is an unusual song. I gave you a little history of some of our Christian music earlier when we were talking about Jimmy Owens and Come Together a few minutes ago. But this song is really considered a piece of Americana history. It was actually first published in a hymnal in 1927, but it wasn't until the 40s and the 50s that it was introduced into the American folk music scene. You heard some of the folk music scene, similar to what you heard when you heard Come Together, but it was during that time right now. Every style of music has covered He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. It's been a folk song. It started as a Sunday school song. It's been a pop song. Mahalia Jackson sang it. Judy Garland sang it too. And so many other people. It was on radio. It was on popular. In fact, in 1957, there was a lady by the name of Laurie London who cut it. She was a British lady. Her version came to America and hit number one on the record charts. It hit, and talk about, when I mentioned crossover, it not only on the regular charts, it went to number 3 on the R&B, the rhythm and blues charts in 1958. It reached number 2 on Billboard, number 1 in Cashbox. It became a gold record, and it was the first and the only gospel song to go to number 1 on the pop singles chart. Now, you may say, well, what about in the 70s when we sang, put your hand in the hand of the man? We heard that on the radio. Remember that? That got to number 2. It didn't hit number 1. You might say, well, what about, oh, happy day? That only got to number 3 on the Billboard chart. But he's got the whole world in his hands. That was during that brotherhood time, the brotherhood sound. I remember being a young man, and we had a traveling group that would go into high schools, and we do high school assemblies. And when we come in there, and we were singing these kind of brotherhood songs. Come on, people now. Try to smile on your brother. We'd sing, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. If you see your brother standing by the road, you got to try a little kind. We were doing all those things, trying to skid in right now. But he's got the whole world hands always worked. And you know what? We're still singing it. He's got the whole world in his hands. You smiled. Some of you started swaying when you sang it. It brings back something. So everything's happy and well, right? No. But you've been singing. He's got the whole world in his hands, and you're smiling. Now, it's not all well, is it, right now? Admittedly, this Christmas probably doesn't feel quite well to a lot of people. Depending on some things that people are going through, it doesn't feel quite right. We sing the song, he's got the whole world in his hands, but maybe we think he went to Florida for a while. And really, compared to God's intent for our lives, things are not going well. He desires that we would prosper, be in health, that we would rejoice, that we would grow in the Lord, that we would worship, that we would fellowship with him. That's the whole reason right now. But I need to just tell you right now, it's never been quite well. As long as we're on this planet, it will never be quite well to what God wants for us. You may say, well, this is an awful time. And admittedly, this is a very difficult time. You see, we're living in a time where unprecedented uncertainty, really in our lifetimes, we've never seen before. And there's a temptation in times like this to allow fear, to allow worry to creep into our thoughts, to rob us of our joy, to rob us of our sleep. And we need to remember and remind ourselves that he is in control, that he's steadfast, immovable. We need to remind ourselves about those things right now, that he's got the whole world in his hands. But Christmas hasn't always been good. Look at the first Christmas. It didn't even start out good. Do you realize it was pretty nuts on that first Christmas? Herod had said, kill the boy babies. Now, that's a little rougher than what you're going through right now. Now, they're going to head that way. That's what they want. But how rough is that? But even hearing that out of the mouth of this earth demon, heaven was not rattled. Heaven was not shaking. God wasn't worried. He had the whole world in his hands. The earth is the Lord's. By his word, everything is upheld right now. They weren't rattled at all. This word, this truth, and this man called Jesus has always been the lightning rod against the forces of hell. That's why Christmas is trying to change the focus of it from the real meaning of the Christmas story. That's why you're seeing that. That's why when they did that beautiful display when it first opened up in the park 25, 30 years ago, it was called Christmas in the Oaks. But all of a sudden, it's going to be changed to the celebration folding to that. He's always had the whole world in his hands, even when it didn't look like he did to us. When I see the intent of people in leadership, the hate against God and the hate against God's people, and it's allowed. It's allowed. Miss Omar, who is a congressperson, who married her brother to get him here. There's more. Recently said, Israel has hypnotized the world. And her prayer was, may Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Looks like a rough Christmas, doesn't it? but it's never changed. 85, 90 years ago, G.K. Chesterton said it this way: there are those who hate Christianity, and they call their hatred an all-embracing love for all religions. Nothing's changed. And guess what? Through all of that, he's got the whole world in his hands. Whew. Take a breath. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're not the manager of the universe? Now, I could help God. If he'd listen to me for just a few minutes, I could give him a list, and he wouldn't have to check it twice. I mean, I'll tell you, here's where you go. But how do we build from here? No, I understand that, and I believe that, but I see things and I hear things. What is the juxtaposition of our faith growing even in the midst of foolishness? My message for this month and for the entire month must remind us in this Christmas season and from the first Christmas season, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got it. He's got it. So be encouraged. Celebrate loud. Celebrate loud. Get loud. It's Christmas, y'all. Celebrate loud. He's got this taken care of. He's got the whole world in his hands. You see, before what happened in 2023 and in our past history, before all of that happened, before Jesus breathed his first breath on this planet, there was a prophetic revelation from David. And I say that it's prophetic because it speaks to multi-levels. I hope I can explain the way I'm feeling this. The word hits things on multi-levels. Let me see if I can explain it real easy right now. How many of you remember maybe you're watching a television show and you're watching it with your kids and they're seeing the slapstick of what's going on and something that's making them laugh? But you, as you watch it later, you're hearing language. You're hearing the story, the twist of a term, some clever writing. And you're laughing at that. You're not laughing at the other thing. And you're seeing the same thing, but because of where you are, you're hearing something different. You're seeing something different. Now I'll bring it to you. How many of you, the first time you read the word and saw the word, it touched you and it changed you and it started you on a path? Now, later in your journey, and I explained to Linda the other day, this is the experience I've had going back into the story that I know quite well. You read it again and you go, oh my goodness. And I've said it so many times before. And you look at it and you say, when did God put that in there? Was that put in last month? That must be a trap. And that's what happens. That is the concept of the word quickening in us for certain times in our lives. The things we need and need the most at the moment, he gives that to us. The hymn writer said, morning by morning, new mercies I see. But the second line says, all I have needed, your hand has provided to me. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. That's from the book of Lamentations. So before any of this happened, there was a prophetic revelation from David that would prepare us for anything. By the way, even before we read the word, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, even before that was written in Psalm 24, back up one chapter, verse 4 says it this way: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I really think this is a really strong thing right there. The shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, the next line to me is the home run line. Hit it, put it up there. Put the next line. For, say it with me, for you are with me. Now, there's a lot of stories of the prophetic concept of that deal. By the way, that line, by the way, is in the middle of that chapter. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, and certain things, and I walk through things, and then we make the affirmation, right, but you are with me. And then you talk about comforting things, you talk about he taking care of you, and in the middle of everything you're going through and feeling and the emotions you might walk through, remember this right in the middle of your story, in the middle of your life, for you are with me. He wrote that before the next line that we opened with her. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's the middle of the chapter. And I love that. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The New Living Translation right at that moment says, for you are close beside me. Oh, I like that. You're close beside me. Put your arms like that. You're close beside me. I mean, sometimes we need to do a visual of what we're feeling right now. Lord, you are close beside me. Yea, though I walk through the valley, through is a key word, I will fear no evil. But you don't understand, God, this has never been like this. Oh, yeah, it has. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What does this actually mean? This is an emphatic affirmation in the assurance. When you read the full 23rd, it is the affirmation that says whether you are in a green pasture, whether you are by still water, or whether you are in the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That's pretty good, isn't it? Wherever your story is, wherever you are right now, that line in the middle of his chapter says, you are with me. That means he is there all this month. Get it up front. Hear this right now. Let this speak to our panic. Let it speak to our fears. Let it speak to our concerns. It ain't just for Christmas. He's, by the way, he's always had the whole world in his hands. Don't just listen to me. Listen to Paul for instruction and comfort right now, because he's telling the story of why he is here. Colossians, he opens his first chapter and he says, for this reason also. Give me a reason, we're giving it to you. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled. And notice this thing that he's praying for God's people, knowing that God, even things are, there's bad doctrine flying around, there's persecution still flying around, but he's saying to this right now, I'm asking that you may be filled. Is that a good word? Is that, you like that word? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If we can grab that first verse, we'll really understand he's got the whole world in his hands. But as they say on TV, and wait, there's more. And that you may walk. Okay, first off, filled. Who does the filling? God takes care of the filling. The Spirit is in fills. Now watch this now. He made a transition real quick, and he drops it on us. Now watch this. That you may walk. Now that refers to our behavior after we've heard the word. How are we going to go on with it? Make sense? God's going to do it. Oh, I want God to do it. Then he said that your behavior, your walk, you will walk worthy of God. What's the goal? To be pleasing him. Not just pleasing him, being what? Fruitful. Bringing something in every good work. And not just being fruitful and getting the button because you're going to heaven. No, you must increase in the knowledge of God. And that at the same time, even though you might be overwhelmed and you think it's the worst Christmas ever, that you'll be strengthened with all might by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to his glorious power for all patience. I don't want to hear this. For long suffering with joy. Now those are words that don't match. Those words do not match there at all. They don't belong there. That's got to be a misprint somewhere right there. But that's a concept of understanding. He's got the whole world in his hands. Long suffering. Boy, if any word ever sounds like it really is, long suffering is that kind of thing right there. I don't like either one of them. I don't want to suffer. Groucho Marx said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Long suffering. With joy. Giving thanks to the Father. Oh, I put always in parentheses. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And he's delivered us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And conveyed us into the kingdom. And he just moved you right into the kingdom of his son. Of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. In other words, this statement right here means he snatched us back from the penalty of sin with the Christmas gift that landed in that Bethlehem manger. In whom we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Stop right there. Stop right there. Do you think he was well versed in what David read and what David wrote when he said the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, everything? And do you understand? And he understood that revelation when he said, for by his power all things are held together. Said all things were created through him and for him. Now, verse 17 is my home run here for you. Now, listen to this, and you've never heard this in a message for Christmas. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. This is he's paraphrasing David, but he's making it bigger through his Holy Spirit revelation. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That's his way of saying he's got the whole world in his hands. Now notice verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Let me take a ride with you for just a minute right now. Let me color that statement a little bit more. I'm going to hit you a couple quick translations. Watch this. The New Living says right there at verse 17, he existed before anything else. That's New Living Translation. I'm going to read two or three for you. And he holds all creation together. Then the Amplified says it this way. And he himself, these are other ways, by the way. These are other ways that you can use that Colossians 1 verse 17. The Amplified says, and he himself existed. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. That's the whole world in his hands. The Good News Translation says, Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. These two are a little bit longer, Phillips' translation. Now Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. That's who we're celebrating. He existed even before creation began. For it was through him that everything was made, whether it was spiritual or material, seen or unseen. And through him and for him also, they were created. Power, dominion, ownership, and authority. In fact, every single thing was created through and for him. He is both the first principle. He's the upholding principle of the whole scheme of creation. And now he's the head of the body, which is composed of all the Christian people. Life from nothing began through him, and life from the dead began through him. And he is therefore justly called Lord of all. It was in him that the full nature of God chose to live, and it was through him planned to reconcile in his own person, as it were, everything on earth and everything in heaven by virtue of the sacrifice of the cross. This is why I tell you sometimes, when you're reading and studying, get a scripture that you like and then go look at different translations. And do you see something pushed one of your buttons periodically? The Message Bible's a little not quite as dignified at times. We look at this Son, capital S, and we see God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and we see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible, invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence. He holds it all together right up to this moment, right now, 23. And when it comes to the church, like what we've already encouraged you this morning, when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He is supreme in the beginning, and he is leading the resurrection parade. He's supreme in the end, too. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. There's room for all of God's power and his manifestation. And not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, atoms even, get properly fixed and they fit together in vibrant harmonies, All because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. Before he was, he's had the whole world in his hands. Nothing's changed. He sustains us by this word. We tend to forget this, especially in the onslaught of the media right now, when we see it everywhere, the propaganda around us right now. We forget the events. We forget that the events we read about right now in the world are controlled. We forget that the information is decided on. It's controlled. It's all controlled. What is printed? In fact, you want to know what's really controlled? Try Googling something, especially something godly. If you find it, you'll go 25, 30 pages deep in the dive. But for the most part, you won't find things like that. It's hard for me to understand why God even let some of these things continue to happen. But he's standing back. He's restrained right now. Don't you think the disciples had this consternation in their head? But one of the first things Jesus said when he came back to them to encourage them, he made this statement to them. And here's what Jesus said. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's really the whole world in his hands. But there is a time in our life, more so in what we've ever seen in our existence. Things get a little shaky. Things get a little shaky right now. Things are shaky right now. They're doing counseling. They're doing TV interviews. They're doing social media posts. They're doing Facebook. They're trying to warn you of what you should say and can't say at your family gathering. Of what you should say. It's crazy. We can easily say it's never been like that here. But it's nothing to compared to what those disciples were going through. It's nothing compared to what they walked through. And coming out of that, Jesus' first words were, all power. This is right before he's getting ready to leave. All power is given to me in heaven. We understand that. But what about it? And in earth, boys. And in earth. You have no problem believing power in heaven. You have a little trouble wrapping your mind around in earth. Don't you see everything that's going on right now? Please know the shaking that you feel. Maybe for the society where we are right now, it is a different time. But there's always been, throughout history, times when people shook and left their beliefs and were afraid. But it's good to know who we're holding on to. Spurgeon said it this way, I shake, but my rock moves not. I shake, but my rock moves not. Yeah. And since before that first Christmas, he's had the whole world in his hands. So this is a foundation message of where we're going for the next few weeks. During this time, I have a prayer for you. I pray that you are healthy. I pray that you stay safe. I pray that God will do things that you've been praying for, that you'll be surrounded by those you love. And maybe that's harder to understand than peace in the Middle East for some of you right now. Don't you think God knows that? He's got the whole world in his hands. Many of you are struggling with illness right now. Some of you are struggling with employment or lack of. Some of you feel you're isolated. Nobody knows who you are. I hold you up. I bless you. I have no smart words of my own. On my best day, I'm feeble and tongue-tied. But I can tell you, he holds all things. He holds all things by the word of his power. And since and before that first Christmas, he's always had the world in his hands. We've sung a few times, our God is in control. steadfast, immovable, our God reigns. So you've got that, but let me just throw, do you remember when I said he's done all these things for us, but then it says that we would do this, that we would conduct ourselves and we would go. Do you remember when I showed you the change there? Knowing that God has all things under control, he's got all things in his hands. This is not a license to sleep on the job. This is not a license to be lazy with God. This is not a time to be lazy on the word inside of us. Some of you are still going through situations where the word, you love the word, you love the singing, you love to sway, you love what you feel, you love all those kind of things right there. But really when it comes down to the day-to-day thing, that thing of the word is under a piece of glass that says don't break unless in case of emergency. And in order for that to come off here and to come in here, we have to understand the fact that by him all things consist. He's got it all in his hands right now. I'm telling you to stay engaged. That is what Linda read a minute ago. That's what he sent us. That's what Lynn said. That's what come together in Jesus' name. Isn't it kind of neat how God orchestrates our thoughts on a daily? Have you ever wondered how that happens? You don't plan it. You ride it. And ask God that you're not stupid enough to miss what he's saying. Because that's the main thing. You get in the way. God, speak to us. Stay engaged, especially during this season. Stay diligent. Keep growing. Keep listening. What are you listening to? Linda and I were talking about somebody the other day that's been around the God things for 50 years. But when after a while you find out it's not down in deep. It's not down in deep. This is the time to do it. David said, even though things are going good and I'm laying in the pasture, if I'm laying by the water, we got victory on that. We can shout and sing and dance and tell who God is, but we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and all of a sudden we shut down and say, God, where are you? And he stops in the middle of that psalm. He says, for he is with us. Spend this time going deeper into what it says. Read the story. Play some things. Listen to those things. I like all the fun stuff. I sing all the fun stuff. I'll sing All I Want for Christmas Is You. I will sing those things. She said, don't sing the dumb song I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. She said, what's that mean anyway? But I love, we sing those fun little songs. The kids sang those little songs. But there never was a time that it was out of whack. There never was a time that it was out of, we understood. That's what we understood. So make it loud. He said, yeah, but he doesn't know, and I'm a blip on this planet. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. Then we were doing the brotherhood stuff. He got you and me, brother. We'd sing, in his hands. Oh, and you and me, sister. Yeah. You know, there's a difference. It's different when you say sister, but when you go sister, we know what that's attitude. That's some attitude happening there. He got you and me, sister. Am I painting your picture? Message one, he's got the whole world in his hands.